We're in Simin Nun Gimel. The halachas of the Shliach Tzibur. We're up to Sif Chav Gimel. We'll be doing Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. Now, Chav Gimel is discussing the halacha of paying the Shliach Tzibur. Previously, the Mechaber had written that a Shliach Tzibur who's paid is far better than a voluntary one. He feels more responsible to the people that are paying him. So the Mechaber discusses who is it that has to pay for it. Obviously, the townspeople, the members of the shul, have to pay. However, we find that there are two different systems for collecting. Namely, there are some things that we say are an obligation that falls equally now on all the different members of the city. There, everyone pays an equal amount. There are other things that we say that a person who can afford more should be paying more. The question is, which one do we say that hiring a shliach tzibur falls into? So the Mechaber writes, Shchar shliach tzibur porin mikupas hakohol. The schar of the shliach tzibur, you pay from the kupa of the kohol. Now, the kupa of the kohol is the money that they generally collect for tzedakah. In tzedakah, the halacha is that you give tzedakah in accordance with what you can afford, which means that the people that are more wealthy will give more money. The people that have less are going to end up giving less. So the mechaber shita is that the schar of the shliach tzibur gets paid in that same way. Even though the Shliach Tzibur is being motzi everyone equally, it is not that an Ashir gets more out of the Shliach Tzibur than an Ani does. Mikol makom, ein yada Ani maseges ka Ashir. Nevertheless, an Ani cannot afford to pay more. Now, what does this mean? So, Lamaisa, the Mishtabur brings that the explanation is here, that first of all, in terms of what kind of Shliach Tzibur, how good a voice he's going to have, which will generally mean how much he's going to cost. An usher can afford to pay more and therefore will demand more. An ani who cannot afford it is going to settle for someone whose voice is not as good. Therefore, even though they equally need a shliach tzibur, the shliach tzibur that they got may be something that's more appropriate for the ashirim than the aniim, and as a result of it, we allow the kupa to pay for it, the kupa that has gotten its money from people depending on their income and their assets. Another reason, and we'll see this plays even more of a role in another situation, another reason being that an ani can always say, well, I could always go daven somewhere else. The Ramaz Shita is that you divide it. It's half-half. In other words, on the one hand, we say that everybody has an equal need for a Shliach Tzibur. On the other hand, we do appreciate the fact that the quality of the Shliach Tzibur, how expensive a Shliach Tzibur he is, will vary, and as a result of it, we divide it half-half. V'cheinu minig ha-kehilis. That is the minig of the kehilis. That most kehillahs will go and say everyone's got to pay a certain mandatory amount towards the Shliach Tzibur, plus the second half of it is going to be financed by people in accordance with their income. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Darkei Moshe, the Rama himself, the Darkei Moshe talks about, although he talks about this minhag, that is not necessarily the case all over. The Levush says that in a place where there is no clear minhag, you should really go lefi mamon, you shouldn't split half-half. But the mashmos of the Darkei Moshe is that on yomim noroim, according to everybody, we go lefi mamon. And the reason being, because on yomim noroim, an ani can go to a different city that already has a shliach tzibur, whereas generally speaking, people who have more are more tied down to this city. It is more difficult for a person of means to be flexible, pick himself up and go where he wants to, when he wants to, as opposed to an ani who is not really tied down to anything. There's nothing he's got that he's leaving. As a result of it, the Darkei Moshe claims that no matter what the minig is anywhere, yomim noroim, it should really be lefi mamon. The Levush says that the rest of the year, where there is no minhag, we go by lefi mamon as well. There's a stir in the Mechaber that the Mishnah Berurah brings up, where later in Simen Nun Hei, the Mechaber, who over here, remember, Paskins, that you go mikupas akal, which means that you go lefi mamon. Later, the Mechaber Paskins that you go half-half. So there is a teretz that the Mishnah Berurah brings down, but the gross shita is that the mechaber is molded to the Ramah, that the mechaber changed his mind, you go half-half. So halacha l'maisa, you go by the minhag amakam. If there is no minhag, going by the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch later and the Ramah here, it should really be half-half. However, the Levush Paskins that where there's no minhag, people do pay in accordance with their income, and according to the Darke Moshe, they will pay in accordance with their income on Yomim Noroim. Chav Dalet. Tzibur shetzrichim l'skor rav u'shliach tzibur. A tzibur that needs both to hire a rav as well as to get themselves a chazan. Ve'im b'yodam k'dei schar shneihem. They cannot afford both. They have a choice. We're either going to have a rav or we're going to have a shliach tzibur. What should we be spending our money on? If you're talking about a Rav Muvak, you're talking about an experienced Rav who is a major Talmud Chacham, knows Psak Halacha, who called him? He comes first. Why is that? Because it is more important to have a Rav who will enhance the level of Ruchnias and Kiyam HaMitzvahs in all areas of Torah than just to worry about Tefillah alone. So that even though by not having a chazan, they're going to be, and remember, not having a chazan here doesn't mean you don't have someone with a great voice. Not having a chazan means there's no one to be motzi the kol with tefillah. Nevertheless, a rav, an experienced, competent rav, would take kedima because tefillah is only one of the mitzvahs. Whereas he's going to get everyone to keep all the mitzvahs. V'im lav, whereas if he's just a rabbi that's going to, you know, you'll have someone with a beard sitting at the mizrach so that the shul has the tzura of a congregation with a rav sitting in the front, and they're not going to have anyone that can be motzi the tzibur, shliach tzibur kodem. If they're not going to grow in their ruchnias anyway, they may as well daven. So lahalacha, we hold that a competent rav comes before having a shliach tzibur. Certainly, if it's a question of spending more money on a good rav or getting a more pleasant chazan, the rav would come first. There's a Mishnah Berurah who comes out very strongly against those places that that are busy hiring better chazanim, and professional chazanim, for a lot of money, and then they're not left with much money for a rav. And he says that is totally wrong. When we talk about a shul is supposed to be uniting a community in the service of Hashem, and really the most important thing that they have to concentrate on is what is going to bring up the level of ruchnias. And the fact that they will have more people coming to shul to listen to a chazan, and therefore they'll have more members, which will bring in more money, that's not the way to go. So that if they really are hiring a good chazan, they should make sure to hire a good rav as well.